This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
...7:08 on the evening edition. You're with Hezril and Cam. And across the station, we've been looking at the year for different topics and areas: COVID-19, business, the economy, politics. But for the performing arts, it's the year that wasn't. At least that's how Dato' Ramli Ibrahim, chairman and artistic director of Sutra Foundation, has described 2020 for the industry.
Yeah, it's been an incredibly bad year for performing arts in Malaysia, but across the world.
Yeah.
The New York Times just came out with an article saying that we're going to be facing, or America will be facing a cultural depression in 2021 because the effect of COVID-19 economically on the performing arts has been so catastrophic.
Yeah.
You've had to cancel an entire year of earnings. The theaters have had to be closed. And unlike, say, a restaurant, you who have also been hit very badly, there is no way you can turn to Grab. You can, you know, you can't Grab can't say, "Oh, give me a theater performance now."
And if I'm not mistaken, rehearsals were also not allowed this year, I believe, or for a lot of the year as well, right? There was no. Correct me if I'm wrong. There was no, not even that going on.
No, theater, dance, music. These are all very tactile for rehearsing and for performance. And it has been very difficult for performers to adapt. A friend of mine has been trying to adapt, Joe Kukutas with Instant Cafe Theatre, by turning to web performances. She's done a few, and they've been successful. She's been able to do the rehearsals through Zoom, and then you, the people can pay to enter the Zoom performance, which is on just when the performance is on.
Yes.
So it's like a theater performance.
And if I'm not mistaken, Malaysia's first virtual arts festival, Gerangin, also took place this year. Music, dance, theater performances, right? They tried to adapt too.
Tried to adapt as well. And another friend of mine who works for Pusaka, who runs Pusaka, they do a lot of traditional performing arts in especially the East Coast, but throughout Malaysia. And in, say, Kelantan, where the COVID numbers have been pretty good. You have performances now happening there, which are very traditional in form because they happen outdoors.
Which is easier.
Which is easier. But the problem is that even in Kelantan, they look to the audiences of Kuala Lumpur for their earnings.
Right. So you need interstate travel.
Interstate travel. And also for, even if Instant Cafe has had successes in with their web performances, it doesn't match the earnings that they can get from actual theater. Not to say that those earnings are great.
Yeah.
Nobody's living on yachts. And the government, now that we have the new old government, we know what this government's about. And whereas, say, Jakim gets a funding of $1 billion, the amount of money that's been given to the arts has always been virtually zero. There is some now, but it's really very little. So,
unlike other industries, like perhaps F&B, right? Or SMEs that have been receiving perhaps more aid.
But you just go down south to Singapore, much as I hate to praise them. they have actually helped their performers through this time because they have it as a priority. They want to advertise Singapore to themselves as much as the rest of the world, that they are a cultural island. They want to give the idea that they are an oasis in a desert. And Malaysia, on the other hand, is very happy to be that desert. and it's going to be very difficult for venues. We're going to be hearing from venue soon.
Yes.
And performers to recover from this. And really, I've been in the performing arts myself and in the entertainment industry my entire working life. I am not sure about the possibilities of recovery. Ever.
That sounds gloomy.
It sounds gloomy. I think we're going to lose certainly young people. I mean, young people are very gung-ho and they don't think about things. But when a year is lost, you're going to be having a lot of young people who might be tempted to be involved in the performing arts go, what's the point? And then older practitioners could be potentially broken by this.
on that note, let us know, do you miss going to a theater performance, a play, a concert? You know, if you're a performing artist yourself, also you can call in and share your experience. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to hear directly from someone in the industry, Makwai Hu, the co-owner of Life Fact KL. And so we'll be getting some perspectives. So do stay tuned for that here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning, BFM 89.9.
7:15 on the Evening Edition. You're with Hezrel and Cam, and we're talking about the year that wasn't for the performing arts, and you know, the challenges they've been facing. And unlike other sectors, they're still not allowed to resume. So to get some insights, we're going to speak directly now to Makwai Hu, co-owner of Life Fact KL. They're a venue space for gigs, band rehearsals, and more. And he's also behind the independent record label Soundscape Records. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So take us back, first of all, to pre-pandemic days. What were your plans for Life Fact before we were hit by COVID-19?
I think before that, we've been very active. In fact, I think we had one of the venues that constantly doing shows. Like, for example, Life Fact, we have shows every, like, maybe every weekend, like 3 to 4 days, you know. So we were, like, actively promoting both local and international shows. Yeah, so that is our, like, ongoing plans, yeah.
And then when COVID-19 first hit us, were you worried? What were your thoughts at that time?
Actually, before the PM announced the MCO, we were having like a series of shows planned out until like May. So our last gig was on 16 March, which is 2 days before the lockdown. And then obviously we didn't expect that to happen. So we were kind of caught, you know, yeah, because plans already been worked up, you know. Yeah, so at the time, I think obviously nothing much can be done. It's more like a wait and see kind of situation. We were hoping that you know, things will resume maybe like in the next 2 to 3 months, but obviously, you know, it was dragged on. Yeah, so all we can do is to look for other options. Like, for example, in June, I think we sort of like pivoted to online streaming, as well as we actually arranged the space for music recording, album recording, video shoot, and rehearsals, stuff like that. Yeah, just to get some like income to cover our expenses. Yeah, that's more like a immediate plans to deal with the lockdown.
Right, and you've just mentioned a few ways that Life Fact has had to pivot to the pandemic. How extensive, you know, were its impacts on the industry?
Yeah, obviously, it's very impactful, because that is our core business, you know, because our primary like focus is only on shows. You know, we rely on ticket sales, as well as beverage sales, to, you know, as our main source of income. Yeah, without that, I think the space is kind of like lost its function. Yeah, we can't do much, to be honest. Mm.
Did you think that the situation would last this long?
No, we never expected that. Yeah, actually, we thought maybe we could resume latest by end of the year. Yeah, because if you look at other sectors, they are already like slowly opening up, you know. I think we were the first to close and last to open, yeah.
Right, and it's been a few months since you've had to, you know, stop operating. And how would you describe the current situation now for Life Fact? Would you say that things are better, that things are stable?
The good thing is, because we got like some financial assistance, like more like a grant from Cendana. Cendana is actually a cultural office under the Ministry of Finance and Information and Technology. Yeah, so they actually they have like this grant called Revenue Recovery Fund. So we applied for that and then we got it. So that will help us to actually to sustain for another 6 months, I believe. Yeah. In between, we also had our own crowdfunding campaign, where we managed to raise like a certain amount of money, yeah, to, you know, to pay for our rental utilities. Yeah.
And what have you heard about how other venue providers have coped throughout this time?
I think probably they're having the same problem as well. And then the solution is, I mean, just like us, try to like stay afloat by doing other kind of activities, like what I've mentioned just now, like online screening, rehearsals, and maybe recording, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, nothing much actually, because the nature of the business is still gigs, you know. Yeah.
And on that, on the topic of gigs, what impact has the pandemic had on the artists and bands that, you know, usually perform at your venue?
I think they're all affected because our venue are mostly cater for up-and-coming bands. Obviously, for up-and-coming bands, they need a platform to show off, right, to perform and to gain experience, right? So without that, I think they will, like, leverage, like, no other avenues. To sort of sharpen their skill to improve their performance.
And have you seen or heard anything from these artists and bands?
Yeah, a lot of them, they have to sell their instruments. If you check out those musical groups on Facebook page, you know, there's a lot of them selling their gears of course, some of them, they were trying to declutter, and some, because of the loss of income, they have to let go of their instruments. Yeah, which is sad, yeah.
Yeah, so do you think that the pandemic will have a long-lasting impact on how we consume live entertainment? Are people still interested to listen or view live sets?
I think people are still craving for shows. I believe once this pandemic is over, people will still come back, and because they want to enjoy live music. They want to like get out there and socialize, gathering, you know. Yeah, so it's a matter of how soon and when we can actually get the vaccine, and whether it's effective or not, and then yeah, we shall see.
And on that note, what are your plans moving into 2021?
I think for now the only thing is to try our best to maintain the space, whatever it takes, you know. Yeah, and at the same time, hopefully that the government will sort of like slowly, you know, opening up you know, our sector, so that we can resume our business as soon as possible. I think that's the only hope, you know, and things that we can do for now. Yeah,
Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this evening. We wish you the very best in 2021, and hope we hope that everything turns out better. That was Mak Wai Hu from Life at KL and Soundscape Records, giving us some insights to how the live performing industry, the performing arts, has been coping this year.
Yeah, I just want to stress that performing arts, I think that there's a misconception that performing arts is about the Bangsa bubble, the English-speaking middle classes. And as we've heard just now, live music is young people who want to play live music.
Yeah.
It just so happens, though, in the complete absence of any government funding, it might be that an English-speaking middle class has enough money to be able to, and inclination to spend on performing arts, attending performing arts. That doesn't mean to say that all other sectors and demographics in this country shouldn't receive performing arts.
Right.
But you know, imagine a really small town somewhere out there,
yeah,
and a theater group of, say, 20 people turning up, putting on a play in Bahasa or in Tamil. Economically impossible in the present situation.
Yeah.
That would require government state funding.
So, you know, just quickly to follow up, Cam, I mean, what do you think? I mean, Mak brought up some of the funds that were given into Chandana from Chandana. I mean,
I'm not knocking that. That's great. Mm. But it's a brand new thing, actually, that. And it comes from the Ministry of Finance. There is no dedicated cultural ministry. Yeah.
So it comes down to awareness as well.
Then. Yeah, yeah. And I would really hope, I mean, we look at other budgets. I'm going to mention it again. Jackin, 1 billion. Mm. I would hope that as we've just heard, these venues were the first to close. They're going to be the last to open.
Yeah.
The suffering here.
It's going to be a long time.
It's going to be a long time. And I really hope that venues... Yes, the Chandana grant, that's good, but their funds are very limited. Mm. And there are a lot of performers out there, companies, and these are the ones that are just happening at the moment. Mm. If a mindset is not improved, we're never going to develop the ones that don't even exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do worry that with we know this government, this is the new old government, the boys from the past, back again. And, not only has performing arts been a zero priority, one often gets the feeling that it actually is viewed as an active enemy.
Mm.
And it might be that the year 2020 and COVID-19 has actually destroyed something that previous governments were unable to destroy. And we may lose something forever.
Well, I hope that you're proven wrong for all our sakes, and that I would love to go back and watch performances and do all that kind of stuff. In the meantime, though, let us know: do you miss going to live performances? How have you been impacted personally in any way? If you are a performing artist yourself, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Hopefully 2021 will just, turn around for us and for industries like the performing arts and just us in general, everyone here. Keep sending your thoughts through. And stay safe out there. We hope if you're on the road again, do drive safely. Yeah.
We've got a few more days of this wonderful year 2020.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens in these next few days before 2021. After this, we've got the 7:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.